Well, good morning, River Church. How we doing? Light's a little bright this morning. No, it's good to be here. Hey, let me start off with this. If you're new here, welcome to the family. We're glad you're here. We have been, as a church family, for the last week or two or three, going through the Gospel of Luke. The reason I say that joke every week is because we've been going through Luke since, I think, August of last year, and we might finish by Easter. That's the goal. We'll see. But hey, we've been walking through the Gospel of Luke, and we are actually going to be in, this is going to be our last week in Luke until after Christmas, because next week we start what we call Advent at the River Church. And so it's Advent season, well, not just for the River, but really for the church. And it's a very special time on the church calendar. And you say, well, I've never heard of Advent. I don't know what that means. The word Advent means the anticipation of an important person or event. And it's during the Advent season in the church where we kind of look forward to and anticipate what that means for Christ to come at Christmas or at the Christmas season. So we spend about 4 or 5 weeks, depending on the year, just focusing our hearts and our minds on the Christmas season, on the arrival of Christ as a baby, and then looking forward to really his return one day. And so it's a very special season in our church, and I would encourage you, don't miss it. You're going to want to be here. We do some really special and cool things during that season as we kind of turn our hearts towards just Christmas season. There's so much going on in the Christmas season. Your calendars are so full. We have so many things happening. And what we do in the church is we try to slow down a little bit and focus our hearts on Jesus. And so it's going to be special time. So, or a special time. Going to be special time. Going to be a special time. You don't want to miss it. So we're going to end today in Luke in a pretty neat place, I think. So if you're here last week, you might remember the story of the rich young ruler. We walked through that. And really, even more than that, the last few weeks, if you remember, Luke has been telling us that Jesus is heading towards Jerusalem. And you say, well, why is that important? Because it's in Jerusalem where he's going to be arrested and crucified and die on the cross for our sins and our transgressions that we might have life. And so every step he takes towards Jerusalem over these last few weeks is a step towards our redemption. As a matter of fact, we're going to open up 2024 with the story of his arrival into Jerusalem. And so that's where we're going to begin next year. But today, where we kind of come to a close in Luke before the Christmas season is a pretty neat story. It's the story of Zacchaeus. And so we're going to go from the story of the rich young ruler, who is a man who had salvation in his grasp, but wasn't willing to give up this world for salvation, to a man who no one expects to even care about salvation, much less have Jesus offer it to him. So it's a pretty neat story. So that's where we're going to be today. We're going to dive in. Let's look at Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1. It says, he entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. And he was rich, and he was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because of the crowd, since he was a short man. So running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. So we know the story of Zacchaeus, don't we? This is a story that if you grew up in church, you've heard this story, you've sang about this story. But what's pretty neat is as Luke starts off, he gives us really four things about Zacchaeus. He sums him up for us pretty good. He tells us, one, that he was the chief tax collector. He tells us that he was what? He was rich, which if the Bible is going to talk about me, that's not a bad way to do it, right? He was rich, right? He was rich. The Bible tells us he was short, and the Bible tells us he's curious about Jesus. He was a tax collector, he was rich, he was short, and he wants to know more about Jesus. He's curious about Jesus. And it's pretty funny, this story, because if you grew up in church, we all really just know one thing about Zacchaeus, right? We sang one thing. What? Zacchaeus was a? wee little man, that's all we know. And it's funny because I was thinking about this, like, if the Bible's going to talk about you, right, Zacchaeus is up in heaven today and he's like, you couldn't have been like he was rich and average height, right? It had to be he was a short man. Like, this is, the Bible doesn't often talk about somebody's height. And here you have Zacchaeus, he was a short man, and then somebody turned it to not short man, but a wee little man, right? There's an Irish person writing this song, right? He's a wee little man, right? But what a way to be described. Like, if you're ever talking about me and somebody's like, hey, is Pastor Mike tall? Be like, well, he's a wee little man, right? Don't do that, right? He's average, 5'9", that's average, just so you know, okay? I'm very good at being average, right? But that's what we know, right? That's how the Bible describes Zacchaeus, he was rich, he was short, he was a tax collector, right? But besides just that, what do all these things tell us about him? Besides the fact that he was short, what do we learn from this? Well, we've talked about tax collectors a lot, right? They've come up a lot because for whatever reason, they were the people who were hanging out with Jesus the most. It was like prostitutes and tax collectors, but what does that really mean, right? We know that tax collectors were hated, but why? Now, again, we've talked about this, but it's so important for this story. We're going to talk about it again. Number one, he was hated because he was a Jewish man who was collecting taxes from his own people for an oppressive Roman government. And say, well, what does that mean? Well, the Roman government is typically taxing, it depends on what you read, between 60 and 90% of people's income. That's a lot. And here you have Zacchaeus, who the Bible tells us he was a tax collector, who was taking this from his people, making money off of his people. But not only would they tax that 60, 70, 80%, Zacchaeus, the tax collectors, are going to add on 10%, 15%. A little bit of a tip. It's like when you go to Starbucks or anywhere today, right, and you just order something, and then they turn the little iPad over to you, and you're like, if you want a tip, go ahead, no problem, right? You're like, I literally filled up my own coffee. What are we doing here, right? Just playing to the crowd, right? I know, right? On your way out, we have some iPads for you. We want you to sign. Let us know how we did today, right? Right. But no, here he is. He's a Jewish man who's collecting taxes from his own people, tacking on a little bit extra so that he can become, the Bible says, very rich, right? And for us, we lose sight of what, how awful that would be or how hated he would be. The analogy I like to use is that you have Zacchaeus who as a tax collector is literally helping the Roman government oppress his people, and he's getting rich doing it, right? It would be like, go with me here because this is something we don't ever have to worry about, right? It would be like if Canada one day invaded the United States and won, right? And as they do that, they are very oppressive over us. And then your own family members start collecting taxes from Canada or from you to help keep Canada in charge. And they're getting rich doing it. How are you going to feel about them? You're going to love them, right? It's family, right? No, so that's what Zacchaeus is doing. That's what this tax collector is doing. And you say, why is that important? You'll see in a minute. So the Bible doesn't just say that he's short, doesn't just say that he was rich, but that he was a chief tax collector, meaning that all the other tax collectors reported to him. So not only is he getting money off of the people he's collecting taxes from, but he's getting them from all the other tax collectors. So basically, this dude's doing okay. Zacchaeus is doing okay. And because of all these things, he is despised. So he's not just the short, cute, little, wee little man. He is a hated scum of the earth, chief tax collector, getting rich off of helping oppress his own people. Okay? He's not just, the song makes him sound cute, right? He's cute little Zacchaeus. He had to climb up in the tree. That's so sweet. No, he's a hated, despised piece of garbage jerk. That's who Zacchaeus is. But he's also curious about Jesus. It seems strange based on the fact that, well, we know about him. But maybe as Jesus is coming into town, Zacchaeus has heard about the miracles. Maybe as he hears this Jesus is coming into town, maybe he's heard some of Jesus' teachings and he's thinking, this sounds different and interesting. Maybe he's heard the rumors that he claims to be the Son of God, or he's this supposedly great prophet, or maybe even the Messiah that the Jewish people have been waiting on for so long. But for whatever reason, as Jesus arrives into town, this heartless tax collector who's helping oppress his own people says, I have to see him. I got to know more about him. And so Zacchaeus runs ahead, and in the most undignified way, this short little wee little man can't see Jesus because the crowd's too big. It's pressing in there too tall. So he climbs up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. There we go, right? And this, in the most undignified way, climbs up. Could you imagine a grown man climbing up in a tree because he wants to see somebody? Right? Think about that, right? We went to the world champion Texas Rangers victory parade the other day with my kiddos. And there were so many people piling in and so many people there that I had my kids, and there was like these pillars, and I had to put the kids up on the pillars so they could see up over the crowds and see the Texas Rangers. Like, it's appropriate for a 7-year-old. For a grown man, it's a little weird, right? It's a little weird. All right, nobody else. Like, there was no adults doing this, only kids. But yet, here's Zacchaeus, who wants to see Jesus so much that he, forget dignity, forget what everybody thinks. They already hate him anyways, whatever, kick rocks, right? He wants to see Jesus so bad that he sees the crowd and he climbs up in this tree to look over to see Jesus. That's how much he's curious about this guy, just to see him. Not to hear anything, not to touch him, not to talk to him, just to see him. He climbs up in the tree. And it's interesting because this story, and I'm going to reference it a few times, it, in so many ways, it reminds me of the rich young ruler. I keep going back, and if you weren't here last week, I apologize, go listen to it. It was a phenomenal sermon, right? It was a great sermon, right? I'm just kidding. It wasn't bad, right? But here, last week, you have the rich young ruler who, just like Zacchaeus, the Bible describes him as rich, wealthy, has everything in their grasp that this world would tell you need to be happy and satisfied and fulfilled. And yet here, just like the rich young ruler coming to Jesus saying, what do I got to get to inherit eternal life? You have Zacchaeus pushing past the crowd, climbing up in a tree because he's got to see Jesus. They both have everything the world tells you would need to satisfy your soul, and yet they both say, I got to see Jesus. The only difference between the two is that most people would expect the rich young ruler to have it, right? That'd be Jesus go, oh, you're already in the club. Nobody would expect Zacchaeus to even want to see Jesus, much less have Jesus welcome him. Matter of fact, the people in the crowd would think that Jesus would maybe condemn him to hell instead of saying, hey, let's go hang out, Zacchaeus. But let's look at the rest of the story. You know how it plays out. Look at verse 4. So running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today it is necessary for me to stay at your house. This is so cool. Jesus sees him and says, I'm going to go hang out with you, Zacchaeus. I love this, because I think about Zacchaeus up in that tree, and I think about what it must be like or feel like to be seen by Jesus. I think about Zacchaeus and the life that he has lived, and this man who's not a good man, who is hated by his community, who has everything the world would tell you need, and yet probably feels so alone, just desiring to look at Jesus and then to be seen by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I think about how in life we all want to be seen. Like, we all walk through things and we do things, and there's oftentimes we feel alone, and there's moments that you're just like, I just wish somebody would see me. Like, we all have this desire just to be seen and known, and in this moment I feel like Jesus looks up at Zacchaeus in the tree, and for the first time in his life, Zacchaeus feels seen. And then Jesus says this really incredible statement, "Zacchaeus, come down from that tree, for it is necessary that I stay at your house." Isn't that an interesting phrase? Like, he doesn't say, "Hey, Zacchaeus, I need some dinner, man. Let's go hang out." Like, "Zacchaeus, get down from that tree. I know you got money. Get me a steak," right? Let's go get a steak, right? He says, "Come down from the tree, for it is necessary that I go to your house." Not anybody else's house in the room. The crowds are pressing in. None of those people. It's necessary that I stay with you. What makes it necessary? Why is it what necessary? Like, you know, nice maybe, but necessary? Why that word? What does Zacchaeus have to offer Jesus? What does Jesus need from Zacchaeus? What could he possibly have reason to want to go and be with Zacchaeus? What's necessary about Zacchaeus? What we find out later, and you know the story, is that it's not necessary because Jesus needs anything from Zacchaeus. It's necessary because of what Zacchaeus needs from Jesus. Amen? Look at Zacchaeus' response. And look at the crowd's response. "So he quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully." Zacchaeus quickly. Now, he didn't hang out in the tree any longer. Jesus said, "Get down from the tree." Boom, Zacchaeus is down. "So he quickly came down from the tree and welcomed him joyfully." And look at verse 7. This is perfect. "And all who saw it began to complain." Isn't that interesting? Here's this sinful man up in the tree doing whatever it takes to see Jesus. Jesus sees him and says, "Zacchaeus, come down from there. It's necessary that I go to your house." And everybody around him begin to complain. Why? Look at it. He's gone to stay with a sinful man. Jesus says, "It's necessary for me to be with you, Zacchaeus." Zacchaeus jumps down out of that tree. He welcomes Jesus joyfully. He's probably amazed. "I can't believe he's talking to me. I can't believe he's looking at me. I can't believe he wants to spend time with me." Like, Zacchaeus knows who he is, and he's thinking, "I can't believe you want to hang out with me." And everybody around him goes, "I can't believe he wants to hang out with him." Why? Like, we move past it and we think, "Oh yeah, it makes sense that they would be jealous or whatever." But what are they saying? Like, what are they actually saying? They're saying like that they can't believe that Jesus would hang out with this awful, sinful man. Like, he's the worst. He's like terrible. Right? They have all these ideas they want to say about Zacchaeus. But what they're really saying is, this man doesn't deserve Jesus. They look around at him and say, "You want to hang out with him? Jesus, he doesn't deserve you," as if they did. And oftentimes we look around at people, and I don't want to step on any toes here, especially as we head into Thanksgiving and hang out with some family members, right? But oftentimes we hang out with people and we go, "They don't deserve Jesus," as if we do. And oftentimes we look around and we judge and we look down on folks and we think, "Hey, there's no hope for them," as if there was hope for us without Jesus. At best, we were good at looking good, but without Jesus, we were still wicked and sinful. But praise God, he saves souls. Praise God, he redeems lives. Praise God, he transforms us. Amen? And so here we have the crowd. They look at Zacchaeus and they go, "He doesn't deserve Jesus." But look at how it plays out. Verse 8, "But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, 'Look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord. And if I've extorted anything from anyone," he knows what he's done. "If I've extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay it back four times as much." The law had rules about if you stole from somebody, how much you had to pay back. And this is way more than even what the law required. Zacchaeus meets Jesus, and his response is the exact opposite, again, of the rich young ruler last week, who he said, how do I get eternal life? Jesus said, sell all your stuff and follow me. And the rich young ruler goes away sad, for he had many possessions. He wasn't willing to sacrifice his stuff to follow Jesus. Zacchaeus meets Jesus and says, I'll give it all away, right? Whatever it takes to make it right. I know the law said two times, I'm going to give away four times because I want reconciliation. Look at the difference. Look at the difference. Zacchaeus says, the pain I've caused, the hurt I've caused, the stuff I've stolen. He meets Jesus and he says, I'm going to make it right. Whatever I got to do to make it right. He's a man. He's not selling his stuff to get saved. He's selling his stuff and making things right because he's met Jesus. You understand? He's a man who's met grace. He's a man who's found grace he never thought he could experience, and it changes his life. That's what Jesus does. You meet Jesus, you encounter Jesus, and it changes your life. It changes the way you look at things. It changes the way you live. It changes the way you view your possessions. It's not, like for Zacchaeus, it's not stuff to hoard anymore. Now all of his money is an opportunity for reconciliation to make right what he's done wrong. It's changed his life. And then look at verse 9, which is really the key to it all. So Jesus meets Zacchaeus. Let me go back and read verse 8 again because I like it. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, I'll give half my possessions to the poor, Lord, and if I've extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay it back four times as much. Verse 9, today, Jesus says, salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. When Jesus says, for he too is a son of Abraham, what's he saying? For he too matters to me. For he too matters to me. Today, salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. Verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. Praise Jesus. Jesus declares two things in this passage. Number one, Zacchaeus has experienced salvation. And number two, that's why Jesus is here. Why is he on this earth? To seek and to save what was lost. You see, when he looks up in that tree and he sees Zacchaeus, he wasn't surprised because he was there for Zacchaeus. Why does he say it is necessary that I go to your house? Because Jesus was there for Zacchaeus to save his soul. The crowd complains, oh, he's hanging with a sinner. And Jesus says, that's why I'm here. And if you don't know that about Jesus, then we don't understand the character of Jesus. Jesus says, it's necessary that I go to your house because we got some work to do, Zacchaeus. I'm about to change your life. And the crowd says, but he's wicked. And Jesus says, exactly. And the crowd says, but he's a tax collector. Exactly. But he's a thief. Exactly. But he's a traitor to our people. Exactly. But he's a sinner. Exactly. Jesus doesn't go to his house despite all those things about Zacchaeus. Jesus goes to his house because Zacchaeus is those things. He doesn't go to Zacchaeus' house because he's righteous. He goes to his house because he's a sinner. And that's the point. Jesus came to seek and to save who? The lost. And I love it because it doesn't say Jesus came for whoever shows up. It says he came to seek. What does that mean, seek, right? You ever played hide and seek? What do? There's one person who hides and there's one person who seeks. And what's the person who seeks? They go and find people. And Jesus said, I came here looking for the lost that they might be saved. Praise his name. Praise his name. That is the gospel. That's what, as we head into Christmas season, that's what we're celebrating, that Jesus came to earth as a baby to seek and save the lost, that we might be saved. So what do we do? What do we do with that? As we head into the holiday season, as we head into a new year, what do we do with this? Well, number one, we want to understand God's heart. Taking notes, you write that down. That's good preaching. We want to understand his heart. What's his heart? To seek and save the lost. As Christians, we want to understand God's heart, and his heart is to seek and save the lost. Who are the lost? The lost are the broken. The lost are the despised. The lost are the liars and the cheaters, the jerks, the sinners in need of a Savior. The lost are us without Jesus. So number one, what do we do with this? We understand his heart. His heart for Zacchaeus is the same heart that he has today to seek and save the lost. Number two, we believe he's able. Did you hear that? Number two, we believe he is able to seek and save the lost. You see, what the crowd missed when they looked at Zacchaeus is that Jesus could do something about his life. The crowd looks at Zacchaeus and they go, "Ain't no point, Jesus. He's a dirty, rotten sinner. You know who he is? You know what he's done?" The crowd looks at Zacchaeus and they see no hope for Zacchaeus. They look at Zacchaeus and they see somebody who's too far gone, too dirty, too much of a sinner, ain't no hope for Zacchaeus, and Jesus goes, "Watch this. I'm about to change his life." We as believers have to believe that Jesus is still able to change lives. And not just ours, but the people around us that we think are too far gone. We have to believe that he is able to seek and save the lost. Because if we say, "Man, yeah, I believe Jesus came to save souls," but we don't believe that he can still change lives, then we don't really get it. We have to believe that Jesus can take a man like Zacchaeus and change him from the inside out. We have to believe that he can take a broken person and heal their lives. We have to believe that he can take a sinner, save their soul, and set them free. And if we believe that, then it changes everything. It changes how we operate as a church. Because if we believe that Jesus came to seek and save the lost, if we believe that he is able to seek and save the lost, then it changes who we are, because this isn't just a holy club where we come hang out and sing some songs and hear me make a couple jokes every week and then go out pretty happy. This is a place where we expect life change to happen, where we expect people to get saved. This is a place where all are welcome to come in those doors and do what Zacchaeus did, seek Jesus. Amen? It's a place where all are able to come and seek Jesus. We believe that he is at work in this place, and we want anyone and everyone to feel free to walk in those doors and seek Jesus, and they seek him. And if you seek him, you will find him. Amen? If you seek him, you will find him. So it changes how we operate as a church. It changes how we see others. Because we can't look at others as lost and too far gone. We have to believe and hope and pray that God can change their lives. As you head into Thanksgiving season, there's about to be a crazy uncle you're about to be hanging out with, right? Cousin Bobby, that's right. And as we say this, if you don't know who the crazy uncle is, I'll take a drink on that one. But as we're about to be with family, and sometimes some of those are really difficult relationships, amen? Sometimes it's hard, and sometimes you don't look forward to it. But as you go into that season, we have to remember that Jesus is able to seek and save, that Jesus is able to transform lives. And so it doesn't mean you got to hang out with Cousin Bobby all the time, but it does mean you got to love him. It does impact how you treat him. It impacts how you talk about him. It impacts how you think about him. Because Cousin Bobby's not just some Zacchaeus sinner. You don't know who he is, Jesus. He's somebody that Jesus came to seek and save. And he might even have a part in that happening. Amen. So it impacts our church. That's right. It changes how we see our church. It impacts how we see others. But let me end with this. It impacts how I see myself. So I don't know if you're like me, But I relate a lot more to Zacchaeus than I do to the other people in the crowd. And you might be in here today and you might look at yourself and you might look at your life and you might look at who you are and you feel like that. You relate more to Zacchaeus. You feel maybe a little bit lost or hopeless or I don't know if Jesus can do anything with me. But let me say this to you today, if that's you in this place, Jesus came to earth for you. And it is necessary that he spend some time with you because he's got some things to do in your life. You feel lost today? Perfect. You're in the right spot because this is a place where lost people get found. Amen? We won't even make you climb a tree. You can come down to the altar if you want, but I mean, you can climb a tree if you want. There's one out there, right? But let me say this to you. If you feel lost in this place and you're looking for hope and you're looking for I don't know what to do, Jesus sees you. Jesus loves you and he wants to hang out with you because he wants to change your life. Amen? Amen. It's no accident that you are here today. Jesus said it's necessary why he came to seek and save the lost. So church, stand with me. As we head into the holiday season and as we head into a new year, as we head into Advent, may this story of Zacchaeus, the wee little man, change our lives. May it be a story that reminds us that Jesus is able. May we as a church, as we turn into this season, seek Jesus. Whatever that looks like for you, maybe you're like, man, I got a great relationship with God. We're good, good. Seek him even more. In this season, may we seek Jesus, that we will find him, that in this season we experience him. May we believe that God is able to change lives, to save souls, to seek and to save the lost, that he's able to do it in our church, that we would see people saved and lives changed from the darkest of places, find life and hope. May we believe that he's able to seek and save the lost in our own families, the cousin Bobbies, the crazy uncles, the whatever that looks like, the people that you look at and you say they're too far gone, they're too far lost, they might as well be a tax collector because they wicked. May we believe again that Jesus is able to change their lives. And may we, as we look at ourselves, believe that Jesus is able to do it in us. That as we seek him, that we would be like Zacchaeus. We climb that tree looking for a hope, only to find that hope was looking for us the entire time. And praise Jesus that he is able. Amen. All right, let me pray for us. God, I love you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you're the God who changes lives. Thank you that you're the God who restores souls. God, as we head into this season of joy and giving and Christmas and Thanksgiving and Advent, may we remember that you are able to change lives, to save souls in our church, in our world, in our families, in us, God. May we seek you this season. And may we find you, God. It's in Christ's name we pray. And everybody said,